Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Playle. Joined in the studio by James Hill, we have Darren Hughes from Paddy Power on the line as well to discuss the week's action. In the first section, we're going to review what happened at Ascot, Haydock and elsewhere. Then we'll go into some midweek fancies from the lads and then we'll answer some of your questions as well. So stay tuned throughout. Plenty for us to look back on. I feel like the highlight really delivered for me, Jimmy, Defi Desoy v Underso in the Clarence House at Ascot. I mean, he's now favourite for the champion chase, and I thought it was pretty faultless as far as preparations go.
Well, you're absolutely right. He was the highlight of the weekend. That was a stunning performance from Defi Desoy. People can say that Underso didn't go fast enough. I think, you know, that they're correct about that. He was still tugging away way after Swinley Bottom, but I don't think that's the point. I mean, Defi was brilliant in everything he did. I thought his jumping was fantastic for a horse in just his second season over fences, and his turn of foot's brilliant. He just went past Underso, who's in full galloping mode, went past him just in the blink of an eye, and won, you know, eased down right on the bridle. He is rightly favourite for the champion chase, which is now looking a very exciting race indeed. And I think if the ground is in any way soft, he's going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, Underso, I mean, he's getting on a bit now, 12 years old, but he normally runs to sort of 170 every time. He's a remarkable little horse. Would you be worried about the proximity of Maracuja? What do you say about people who are criticising that?
Yeah, possibly, but they went very, very slowly early on. It was a bit of a dash from Swindley Bottom, really. That, I mean, they really didn't start racing until then. I mean, Defi nearly hit the front at one stage, didn't he? Underso was going so slowly. I do think they got their tactics wrong on Underso. He actually, people saying, you know, he'll have his own way in front, it'll be much better for him. I mean, we all said that to start with, but in hindsight, he probably could have done with a lead. But I don't think it would have made a difference to the result. I mean, Defi was just all over him turning in. I mean, he absolutely was brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any more to add, Darren. What did you think of the tactics on Underso?
I'd say Paul would love to have that ride back again, Maddie. Sure, he didn't make use of him at all. Like, it went very, very slow. Defi Desoy was never more than a couple of lengths away from Underso. Like, Underso's his go-to, what he does best, he breaks horses' hearts and stops heavy ground by going a pace that they cannot sustain in ground like that, and they cry enough. Whereas this, he crawled around there and it turned into a sprint, and like, he's 12 years of age, he's never going to win a sprint against who is a very good horse in Defi Desoy. That's the second time in a row I think he hasn't been ridden probably to the best of Paul's ability, like, as in, he should have made far more use of him. I'd sooner the horse get beat by, you know, going too hard and fading away than he's never going to win a sprint.
Yeah. Okay. So perhaps lessons weren't necessarily learnt from Sandown then. Champion chase prices now, how's the market shaping up?
Yeah, well, look, he obviously was impressed, man. Defi Desoy is now our 2-1 favourite ahead of Altior at 3s and Chatham Forsois at 9-2. Killas Emery is 7s, Absolute Card is 8s, Duvan is 12s, Surnam is 16s and is 20s and bigger the rest.
I wouldn't be looking any further for the Champion Chase winner. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, really. Altior just doesn't seem to be having a good season at all. We've only seen him once when he got beat. Not sure he's the same horse that he used to be. Defi is a rising star of the jump season, really. I suppose my only concern would be, Mads, if the ground was quite fast and they went a really fierce pace. You know, he's not the biggest horse. He's very brave at his fences, but that might catch him out a bit. So that would help a horse like Chacun Pourcoir more, I would say, if it was lively conditions and they went very fast. But otherwise, I think, like I said, I think he is a horse to beat on this season's form.
Yeah, exactly. Darren, the Dublin Racing Festival's coming up. I mean, can you see anything really stamping its class on the division more than Defi has done? Who do you fancy for the champion chase?
I would contend that Altior, if he runs the same level he ran to last year, he'd win this doing handstand. Defi Desoy's after beating a 12-year-old doing the saw twice on the half, and he's the coming horse, fair enough, but he still has a little bit to go to reach even the level of Altior's win last year, or even Altior's run behind Surname. I know it was over a different distance, but if he runs to that level again, I can't see anything beating him here. Chacun Pourcoir is probably the dark horse that might make the step up, but even like Absolute Hard, like the proximity of Ordinary World to them too in Leopardstown over Christmas would seriously make me question that form. So Chacun Pourcoir is a bit to find as well. I think Altior 3-1 is crazy, to be fully honest.
Okay, very interesting then. So you're keeping the faith with Altior. Another horse who I'm sure will be on a lot of people's shortlist for the Cheltenham Festival is Goshen. Won the first race, Jimmy, the juvenile hurdle. This horse, he never tends to see another rival. He settled more in this race, but he still showed a little bit of his old jumping tendency to jump to the right. What do you make of him?
I wouldn't worry too much about his hurdling. I think when he's a bit lonely...
He's too good for these?
Well, I just think he loses concentration a bit. He's a young horse. He's just being a bit green, really, I would say. When they were, you know, racing out in the country, I didn't see any problem with his hurdling at all. Mm. I mean, he's a little bit novicey, but you'd expect that. He's only a four-year-old and he just turned four. The one concern you'd have about Goshen is you don't know... If he encountered decent ground, how good he'd be then? I mean, we see him on very soft ground and he's looked very impressive indeed. But if he gets a decent surface at Cheltenham, he's entering unknown territory, really. Mm. So, you know, that's a question mark you have against him. I mean, it's the top three in the market for the Triumph of all impressed this season. I was very impressed by All Mankind at Chepstow. I thought it was one of the better performances we saw over Christmas. And, of course, Gary Moore will have some sort of a line on him because All Mankind beat Botox has Gary's horse at Cheltenham in November.
Yeah, indeed. Gosh, and then what price for the Triumph now, Darren?
He's a 7-1 joint second favourite, Matty. I'll give you a full rundown in the prices. So Aspire Power for Henry de Bramhead is our 5-1 fav. All Mankind and Gosh and our joint second favs at 7s. Mick Pastor 16s, Cerebrus is 16s. Botox Daz is 20s, Aramax is 20s, and you know it's 25s and bigger than the rest. A lot of horses there we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. Goshen then, he's a horse that gets a lot of people talking with the way he runs and the way he races. What do you think?
I think if he clatters hurdles like he did at the weekend in Cheltenham, he won't get the, you know, the 10 or 12 seconds to get his breath back and make up the ground he's after losing against better, higher class of horse. Like, he's after beating trees there at the weekend. I wouldn't be getting too pent up about this. The one thing about the Triumph is the three main protagonists this year are all fairly headstrong. Like Aspire Tower, All Mankind, and Goshen, they all like to get on with things. And I could see this being a bit of a turn up on the day. Like, as in, if them three decide to cut each other's throats, do you know what? Like, you can't sustain that pace. Three horses going, you know, cutting the heads off each other, can't sustain that pace. Now, the one I do think is most liable to accede maybe and take a lead is Aspire Tower, who doesn't, I think he's been leading out of convenience as opposed to necessity. But All Mankind, as I think Dan Skelton said, he'd start a row with only himself in the room. And Goshen is the same. They both seem like absolute nut jobs. I think if them two go off against each other and cut each other's throats, it's going to set up lovely for Aspire Tower. I'd say he's actually a fairly decent price at fives.
Okay. I guess we have to remember as well, the occasion could well get them boiling over, couldn't it?
True enough, yeah. Now, All Mankind did handle himself reasonably well at, I think it was November meeting in Cheltenham, or was it the international meeting in Cheltenham, whichever one he won at. Goshen, on the other hand, hasn't seen a day like that as yet, and I'd be interested to see what happens to him when he does get to an occasion like Cheltenham.
Okay, Thomas Darby won the Holloway's Hurdle off top weight. It was a good performance, Jimmy. Bold plan, my fancy, fell early on. I was a bit disappointed by that, but this horse, he returned to the form that saw him finish second in the Supreme last year.
Yeah, no, Thomas Darby's a good horse. I mean, if you remember, he finished second in the Supreme. I think he finished lame. Despite being runner-up at Cheltenham. So he's got plenty of talent, and I think this is probably his correct distance. He clearly handles soft ground well. I think that is now his top two Racing Post ratings for his career have been on very soft ground, so he clearly likes a bit of dig. I think they're making the right decision, really, by aiming at the Aintree hurdle. There really is...
Back over hurdles, of course, fences just didn't work.
Yeah,
out,
no, did absolutely. I think fences haven't really worked for him. He doesn't look a natural. Hurdling's much more his game. I think it's correct that they're aiming for the Aintree hurdle in April because they're really, in terms of races over the smaller obstacles, isn't anything for him at Cheltenham. Bruce Millington's always going on about, you know, creating this grade one, 2.5 mile race at the festival as a new contest. Well, he's got a point certainly with Thomas Darby. He'd be perfect for that.
So too Ballyandy, probably, who we're going to talk about in a little while. Darren, Thomas Darby, he's one of those horses who's probably going to be a bit difficult to place now. Do you think he can mix it with the best of them?
Not really. You know, you're winning a handicap off top weights, reasonably impressive, but doesn't a champion hurdler make? I suppose, yeah, like it is that awkward thing now. Where do you go with him? What do you do with him? He obviously hasn't taken defences either. I think, yeah, I don't know. I'd be disappointed if he was in the shake-up. Like, the champion hurdle is not brilliant this year, but I still think it's a step above what he's capable of, to be honest.
Yeah.
And, like, I know he's not going there, but even the entry hurdle and later on the year, same story. I don't think he's actually up to the level required.
Okay. We saw Magic of Light win the same race she won last year on Ascot's card, as well as a good performance from Domaine Delisle in a handicap. But we are going to move on to Haydock. And it was a day for the Twiston Davis family, Sam in the plate and Nigel training. They had Stolen Silver winning the Rossington main first off. Jimmy didn't jump with any great fluency, but he really finished off well.
Yeah, well, you make the point about his jumping. That's absolutely right. He won in spite of it. I backed him and I had my head in my hands because he was not hurdling one flight properly at all. And it was simply because the two in front stopped a bit and he handled the heavy ground well, stayed well, that he got up to win. I think he's in the Betfair hurdle.
Yeah,
he has an entry
yeah.
in that, which his trainer has a very good record in. And they can get a very soft ground at Newbury for that meeting, which would suit him. But he does need to hurdle better than that.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned that Betfair hurdle. I'm sure Darren will have some prices. So Stolen Silver rated 140 before his win. The trainer won it with Al Danstroff 141 last year. Ballyandy 135, who we'll get to in a minute. And Splash of Ginge 134. So he's sort of in that vicinity. Darren, what do you think of Stolen Silver? Would you give him a chance in a race like the Betfair hurdle?
Oh, certainly, yeah. That was kind of my immediate thought after the we cut it to 10s from 16s. I'll just give you the full rundown here. Not So Sleepy in the Betfair Hurdle is our 7-1 fav. Eldorado Allen is 8-1. Never Adapt is 8. Stolen Silver is 10s. Matt the Man is 12s. It's 14s. I'm bigger than the rest. I'm supposed to give you an idea about how my punting is going at the moment. I back both Edward Stone and Penton Hills at the weekend. So wasn't delighted to see Stolen Silver come out and do that, but he did it well. He stuck at it, I think, is the thing, whereas the lads in front kind of clapped back and talked to him. Great again for the Twiston Davis family, obviously. I don't think there's any top notch are going to jump out of the race, but Stolen Silver definitely can be competitive in some of the big handicaps both this season and going forward.
Yeah, it was solid enough form going into it, wasn't it? Various strands represented. Let's move on to Ballyandy then. Good horse, won the champion bumper back in the day and the Betfair hurdle, as I just mentioned. And he got the better of Pentland Hills in what was a thrilling finish, Jimmy. Just got there in a photo. But you'd be a bit disappointed if he was up to winning a champion hurdle, wouldn't you, Ballyandy?
Well, yeah, you say that, Mads, but it's a year where there really aren't that many stars in the champion hurdle division. If it was run on the new course, I'd give him a chance. You know, I would say the old course at Cheltenham, particularly if the ground was quick, would be too sharp for him. But he's got plenty of good form at Cheltenham. Of course, he's a festival winner, won the champion bumper a few years back. So, I think there will probably be one or two too speedy for him at Cheltenham, but I can see him running a really good race. He could finish in the first three.
Okay, and seeing Darren as you back Pentland Hills, what did you make of that then? What did Nico go too soon?
Not at all, no. I was actually very taken with Pentland Hills. I think given how hard he pulled early doors, he did well to be even there, thereabout. Like, bad horses don't travel into races the way he travelled into it. Fair enough, he didn't see it out. And it's odd too, because if you go back to his triumph last year, like, he came up the hill fairly stoutly. Like, do you know, kind of way he wasn't, you know, lagging coming up the hill or stopping at all. He out battled nearly course the team last March. I'd say just look, Haydock is a bog at the best of times, and he did pull very hard. He probably needs the championship pace to see it at his best. This isn't a vintage year. Now, he is 7-1. It's probably been on the skinny side with us for the champion hurdle. I wouldn't be content to back him at that. But if he got there on the day and he's 10s or thereabouts, I definitely consider him, because, as I said, it's not a vintage year.
Okay, let's move on then. Vintage Clouds, he was back in the winner's enclosure, got a great record at Haydock, this horse, Jimmy, and he was sort of showing us what he was really capable of.
Yeah, well, Sue Smith has had a bit of a lean time this season, but she had two winners on the card at Haydock on Saturday, including Vintage Clouds. I thought he looked right back to his best. Loves Haydock, just loves galloping and jumping them silly, doesn't he? He's just got bottomless stamina. Really helps him, that heavy ground. It was a typical Haydock contest, really. I mean, they went a pace, and it was just a case of who kept going. And he was the one that kept going better than any of the others, really.
Yeah, he's a bit more exposed, but the Ultima could be next. They've said that they're not going to go to the Grand National. Darren, would you have any thoughts on Vintage Clouds going forward?
not massively, I suppose. Yeah, look, this was obviously good. He obviously improved from his last trip to Haydock. Yeah, see, Norris, look, he's one of those that he'll pay his way every year, which is not the easiest one to predict, I suppose, is the one thing.
Yeah, exactly. And he's been placed in a lot of races like that. He's sure to go up in the handicap now. Maybe he could be vulnerable to one who's just a little bit better treated. Let's move on then to Irish action. And Willie Mullins, he had a treble at Thurles yesterday. Real Steel, Ellie May and Monkfish. What do we think of those performances, Darren?
I was really taken with Monkfish, Maddie, to be honest. I thought that was really, really good. Like, I know Festival Dex probably didn't really show up, but all Monkfish could do was win, as he did. He won by 20 lengths. He's one of these Mullins horses. I think that, you know, he will need a fence to be seen at his best. But for now, I kind of hope they don't go to the Albert Bartlett with him, because I actually think he's a little bit too good for that, if you get me. You know, very impressed with him. Ellie May, brilliant attitude. Really liked how she went about it. Like, she was off the bridle plenty early and she stuck at it. She'll have the option of either the 2 mile or the 3 mile mares chase Sunday, the Cheltenham Festival, surely in the next couple of years. The way things are going, but no, it was really taken with her. I thought she did it really well. Yeah, both of those really stood out to me. I was quite impressed. Real Steel, not so much. I just think Footpad has been vastly overrated over the last couple of years, and probably just isn't himself either. Real Steel, you'd nearly kind of be disappointed if he was good enough to win a Ryanair. For all that he did improve at the weekend, his previous, like, he jumped a lot straighter and travelled a lot better at the weekend.
Yeah, okay. Jimmy, I did ask you to pick out a tracker horse before we came in here, and you did pick Monkfish. So tell us a bit about what you liked about his performance. I mean, it was quite obvious, wasn't it? He won by a street.
Yeah, he had some decent sorts in behind. He's just a very exciting prospect for the future. I don't know how far he can go this season, but you've just got to be excited about what this horse can do when he jumps a fence. He's got RSA Chase for 2021 written all over him, I think. I mean, he's got so much size and scope. Smashing horse, yeah.
Okay, and just a horse for the notebook going forward, Darren, from you.
There was two I liked from the weekend, Maddie. Both of them won bumpers. I thought the winner of the bumper on Saturday in Navan, Esky Lane, I was really taken by the way he went about that. Like, it was only a small field and he hadn't much to beat, but just he travelled really, really well, punted off the boards. He caught my eye the first day out, and I think he learned an awful lot from that. Like, no champion bumper this year. I think run once more and put him away. And then the other one then is Cool Band Boy. I encourage anyone to go back and watch the Jets at the bumper in Thurles. Like, it's not often you see a William Mullins bumper horse at 3-10 out sprinted. But like, the both of them were, you know, they pulled way clear of everything else. This for Liam Burke, probably hasn't had a horse like this in a long, long time. He was actually meant to be sold to Richard Newland, who took him and then sent him back because he wasn't happy, the horse wasn't sound or something like that. But this horse absolutely sprinted away from a very strong favourite of William Mullins's, who was fairly well touted and fairly highly thought of, from what I know. This lad, I'd encourage you to keep an eye on him going forward. He went in at 7-1. Again, not one for the champion bumper this year, but one to be looking, keeping an eye on maybe for next year when he goes over the sticks. Because I was really, really taken by this now.
Okay, very promising then. Speaking of Willie Mullins at the top of that section, how would you like to win a trip to his yard? We're running a competition at the moment. You get 2 nights accommodation as well as a trip to Gorham Park. Just click the link in the description. Entry is free. Best of luck.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Finding pastel de natas in a London cafe? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+.
Welcome back to this postcast then. We have looked back. Now is the time to look forward. And on Thursday, there's an excellent meeting at Gorham Park. The Galmoy Hurdle is a Grade 2 over 3 miles. For the last couple of years, it's been won by Presenting Percy. He's going to go for the hat trick. What did you make of his run last time in the Savills Chase, Darren?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was a step up on his reappearance in the John Durkin. It would give you plenty to hope for going forward. I think running here is absolutely crazy. This is a good cup contender. He's had two comeback runs, and Connections now want to go and piss about in some Mickey Mouse hurdle on a Thursday down in Gorn. Like, imagine Cotto Star or Denman or Imperial Call or one of those horses, Don Cossack, running a hurdles race 2 months to the day before the Gold Cup. This is absolutely nuts. I'd have serious questions about the campaigning of this horse over the last couple of seasons. Like, for his talent to only have one grade one to his name, I know, like, if I owned him, I would be happy. It's absolutely nuts. I cannot believe the run in here. Like, there's plenty of races. The Dublin race, the Festival's in a couple of weeks' time. Like, I think you're screwing with the horse altogether. You're not giving him a fair chance to show his best when it comes to Cheltenham. There's none of his competitors or direct rivals are going to be messing around over hurdles this side of the World Cup. It's crazy stuff.
Okay, that's interesting. Who do you think could turn up in opposition? Death Duty was an interesting one in there, and I saw Benny Dujure had an entry as well.
I saw that, yeah. I'd be surprised. I think they said Benny might go straight to the festival, kind of a la Quavega used to do. Mm-hmm. Apple's Jade, they might try and, you know, as while she's sweet, just make hay, do that kind of way, because you don't know when she might turn off again. The one I was had, one that caught my eye, because I was interested in him for the stairs last year, was Bacchuson. Hasn't been seen since he finished fourth Tiger Roll in the Boyne Hurdle at Navan last year. But he was kind of one I always sort of liked. Chasing didn't really go his way. Like, he ran in the Gold Cup behind Native River, and he fell in second and kind of took a bit of time to get over that. But if he was to come back, he's one that I've always kind of liked as a horse. And I still think he's only 9, he could still be fairly competitive.
Yeah, he's one of them who's sort of flown under the radar a little bit, hasn't he? He's had a few big absences, so it'd be interesting to see if Bacchuson runs for Willie Mullins here. Jimmy, what do you make of presenting Percy in this race as a whole?
I don't have a problem, Darren, about him running in this race. I mean, connections have always gone the kind of unconventional route with him in the past.
Yeah,
I seem to remember him winning a 3.5 mile handicap chase before he went on to win the RSA. So they do go for these unusual races. I mean, we've had plenty of Grand National winners having hurdle preps before winning at Aintree. So I don't think that bothers me too much. I just wonder whether he's in the same sort of form as he was 2-3 years ago when he really was an exciting young horse. That was an okay run at Leopardstown, but nothing more really. I suppose a bit softer ground would have helped him. But no, he needs to win well here to get back on the right direction.
You'd be taking him on then, presumably?
No, I'd be fascinated to see if Benny Dujure does run here. I've always thought she'd be very interesting over a longer trip. Mm-hmm. I think she's a very classy mare indeed. Well, we know she is. But I mean, really, it's difficult to know. It's a watching beef, really, at the moment until you know the makeup of the final field. But presenting Percy. If it's a similar sort of lineup to last year, we'd have a good chance of winning it again.
Okay, let's move on to the Thyestes then. Really big handicap chase this over 3 miles and a furlong. Some good horses in here. The Paddy Power form is represented in the shape of Chef de Zobo. I know he leads quite a few markets. Does he lead yours?
Not quite. Manella Saldana, sorry, I should just say as well, we're 5 place each way, 50 yards of this, Paddy. I think that's an industry exclusive over our end. You only get 4 elsewhere. Manella Till Dawn is our 6-1 favourite. Chef de Zobo is 7s. Smoking Gun is 10s. Acapella Bourgeois is 10s. Boris is 12s. Expatriate is 12s. Moy Henna for Dennis Hogan is 12s. And it is, Roaring Bull, the hero from Over Christmas, is 14s. And it's 16s and bigger the rest.
Brilliant. And, I mean, you've got a really good handle on this Irish form. I'm sure you have better than me knowledge of it. Who do you think sort of has the potential to win this? Because historically, it's thrown up a lot of good performers.
It has, and it's not the puzzle that it maybe once was. Like, 6 of the last 10 winners have started at 10s or less. Now, I know that's not necessarily relevant to this year's race, but it's just in recent years, it hasn't been as impossible to grab the winner of it. Like, the likes of Jack and Andy are going to have 7-2 Fab winning it. There's a couple I was interested in. I heard Niler suck up Live, Love, Laugh here last Friday. He was a horse I was mad about last year. I backed him for the Grand National. I stuck him up a couple of times. There's 3 of his runs last year I really think were top drawer and have him very well in for a race like this. He ran the handicap chase in Leopardstown in February at the Dublin Race Festival. I think something like the top 6 of them came out and won either in the next couple of starts. I thought he ran an absolute stormer in the Grand National. He just didn't stay. Do not find a way. He's trained the shortest 6s, just didn't get home, gave me a proper sweat. And then obviously coming second behind 007 in Punchestown. My concern with him is just, would he stay at 3 miles on really heavy ground, which they can get down in Goran? But at 33s or 40s in places, I think he is, 40s with us, he's probably worth a flyer. And then the other one, I was initially drawn towards Discorama, but I think he might be better fresh. The other one that I'm interested in is kind of someone, one out of left field. It's a horse called Chef de Curbineau for Gordon Elliott. Now, he's number 38 in the list. He's not guaranteed to get in, so I would wait until the day. But he's after coming over from France. He's a 10-year-old. Started out his career with Gordon running a fairly decent Fairy House handicap chase where he was beaten a half length over 3 miles and a bit. And then he came out last again and ran in a amateur rider's handicap where he was tender handling is probably the best way to put it under Patrick. Like he kind of came there, he stayed on again, etc., etc. If he gets in here off a low weight, I think he'll be very, very interesting. Like these connections targeted this race before. Gordon has targeted the race. You know, especially if you see Daryl Jacob coming over on Thursday to ride this thing, you know that it's probably off. 33s at the moment. As I said, I would probably recommend hanging tight till the day to make sure he gets in and this is his target. But I was very interested in him.
Okay, I casted my eye over this morning at Minella Till Dawn. I thought was really impressive at Cork last time in the blinkers. If they worked again, I'd have another look at him. Jimmy, what do you think?
I thought last year's renewal was a good one, so I had a look at it again last night. See if there are any horses behind him might interest me this time. So I'm going to give another chance to Baris. I know he was well beaten in this race last year, and I think he's £9 higher now. But last year, he'd only just joined Gordon Elliott from France. I think since the summer, he's really improved. He's come on. And of course, he won the Galway Plate. I think this course isn't dissimilar to Galway.
What do you make of his Ladbrokes Trophy run?
Not great, but I mean, it's one bad run. I'm willing to forgive him that.
Yeah,
it wasn't brilliant. But his runs in Ireland since last year have been pretty good. I'll go for him. If it turns into a real slog, which is quite likely to do, get very heavy ground at Garran. Out Sam is I think, a bit lower in the weights than last year. He's getting on a bit in age, but he does stay well.
Yeah, tends to run his race in those handicap chases for Gordon Elliott, doesn't he? We'll move on then. And Cheltenham, of course, coming up this weekend, Trials Day. It's been a good guide in the past to the big festival in March. We've got the Cleve Hurdle, the Cotswold Chase, and also a Ballymore Trial as well. Who are you most looking forward to seeing, Jimmy?
Well, I'm intrigued to see how Santini gets on. That was a terrible run. I know he won first time out at Sandown, but way off the form he needs to win a Gold Cup. So I think he's had a wind up, hasn't he? I think interested to see how he gets on now. He's a bit of a lazy horse, but he does stay very well. I think he probably needs softish ground to win a Gold Cup, but he certainly needs to put in a good performance here if he's to do so.
Yeah, Darasha Counter in that race as well. I think Topville Ben might go for it as well. So could be interesting. Bar album photo, the Gold Cup's quite open. Another horse could throw their hat into the ring. Darren, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing the big breakaway. I'm sure a lot of people won't be surprised to hear that. What about you?
You'll have to wait a little while longer, Maddie, unfortunately. I'm just looking at the entries here. He doesn't appear to be in the Ballymore this weekend. I'd say the ground has just put them off. Look, I can't wait to see Paisley Park. I'm one of his biggest fans. Absolutely love the horse. But for the up-and-comers, I think King Roland, that very good bumper horse from last year for Harry Fry, obviously broke his maiden in Exeter on New Year's Day. Looking forward to seeing him hopefully take the required step up to be competitive in a race like this. Sporting John then for Philip Hobbs is also in there. He's an interesting one. Again, another extra winner. He beat Harry Sr. earlier on the year. Them two, I think, would make this a decent race. And Run Wild Fred has been entered by Gordon Elliott. Very unusual to see him enter a horse at this meet. I'm just wondering, is it to see what kind of a handicap mark he gets having won his maiden? But if he rocks up, he could also be interesting from an Irish perspective.
Okay. What do you think about if the cap fits against Paisley Park? Do you think he should just run him out the way?
I think he'll hopefully make Paisley Park a backable price. I think Paisley Park is the best hurt on training by a country mile, as in he's so consistent and nothing will beat him bar unless he trips himself up, and even at that he might get back up and beat him anyway. He's immensely talented, he's so good. Massive engine, and I think there's still more improvement to come.
Yeah, very exciting horse, isn't he? Even though he's already won that stayers hurdle, I'm ruining my luck with a big breakaway. Spoke to Joe Tizard yesterday. He said, I think the plan will be to run. But as you say, maybe the ground is just making them consider with a big, young, promising horse like him. On that note, we'll take another quick break.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're bucking him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back then to this Monday postcast. In a short while, I will be asking some of your questions to the lads, so stay tuned for that. But first, it's our midweek racing section. Some good action this week. I mean, Warwick on Wednesday, we could see Hazel Hill v Manella Rocco. We've obviously got the Thyestes and the Galmoy on Thursday, as I've already said. Marit Ban Rai could run at Huntingdon on Friday, and there's also a listed juvenile hurdle at Doncaster on Friday as well. So not too slim pickings before Trials Day. Darren, where have you been looking at this week for your next best?
I have a couple. I've one in Wolverhampton this evening. Not sure it'll go out on time, but firefighting in the 6:25 has been slipping steadily down the weights with good reason. But he's shown a couple of more, he's shown a few sparks there the last couple of starts. This is a lot weaker than what he would normally contest. It's only a class 4 handicap. And Mark Johnson went through a little bit of a cold spell, like kind of over Christmas. He was like 0-18 or 0-20 something, I think, at one point. Better form now. He's 5-1. I think that looks fair enough. Not the biggest field in the world. He's not the easiest ride, but I think he's a fair enough price at that to maybe hopefully go in. And then tomorrow at Exeter, there's a 5-runner novice chase, handicap chase. And the one I'm really keen on here is West End Story for Philip Hobbs. I was very sweet them for a very similar contest to Huntington before that got abandoned last week. But I think this is right up his street. He led them a merry dance in a very competitive Newbury handicap over 2.6 miles the last day, but he got tired and fell. Drop and trip here. And an easy lead should be right up his street. And I'm hoping that Golden Whiskey might make the market with Dream the Grand Val also of interest. So if you got 9-4 or 5-2 about this, that's a fairly decent price.
Okay, could you clarify those race times for us?
Yeah, sure. The 6:25 at Wolverhampton this evening and the 1:30 in Exeter tomorrow.
Fabulous, thank you. And Jimmy?
Yeah, a couple of horses who I'm hoping are returning to form who are interesting me this week. Hill 16, who's entered in the 2:30 at Catterick on Wednesday. I mentioned to you that Sue Smith's Yard hasn't been in great form, but they might just have turned the corner with those two wins on Saturdays. Hill 16, disappointing before Christmas over fences, but off the mark last time. Not on a bad mark. And it runs in this novice handicap. I think he's quite interesting at Catterick. And also Esken Dash, who's got a couple of entries this week, could turn up at Fakenham in the 1:25 on Thursday, running a decent race last time behind Mary Banry, who you mentioned is running this week at Doncaster when falling. Key to him is better ground, and he looks like he'll get that at the Norfolk track, so he's on a winnable mark too.
Brilliant, let's get those naps now.
This will not be beaten.
Darren, I'll let you go first.
Sure, a bit of a long one here. It's the 4:40 in Newcastle tomorrow. There's a classic 7-runner 1 mile handicap, and the one that catches my eye is Aidan's Reward. He was running in 5 and 6 furlong handicaps all summer, getting badly outpaced. Showed his kind of first real promise at Newcastle in October over 5 furlongs. He was outpaced before staying on to be an eye catch at 4. Got cut to pieces last time at Wolverhampton up to 7 furlongs, but still ran on and hit the line really well. I think the stiff mile here should suit. Ben Haslam has a good strike rate in 3-year-old handicaps at Newcastle and shows a level stakes prop at £35. Harrison Shaw is booked. He's a 33% strike rate from the yard, 15 right, with a level stakes prop of over £12. I think this lad is his best fresh. His best run came off 100 days breaks, the 60 days break between tomorrow and his last run probably soon as well. I think everything is primed here for a massive run for him tomorrow evening, and he should be a fairly decent price, potentially double digits.
Brilliant. Cue everyone going onto the Racing Post app and trying to find more about that horse. Jimmy?
Yes, a horse called Alicia Deneige in the 2:25 at Garran on Thursday. Really progressive sort over hurdles. Won well at Limerick over Christmas and starts off on a nice mark in handicap company. So Alicia Deneige at Garran.
One to keep an eye on then. Now, before we leave, we did used to answer a couple of viewers' questions on the show. I'm thinking we're going to try and bring it back. Let's see what people are saying this week. First off, Pete Arthur says, what will it take for the British to support the Dublin Racing Festival? I think there was 5 entries, one of which can't run. Darren, I mean, why are British trainers just not supporting the meeting, do you think?
Why would you? As in, I don't mean that in any disrespect. It's a brilliant festival and such a good initiative, but there's no point in coming over here to get stuffed by Willie and Gordon. As in, I don't think the horses are in the UK at the moment. Like, there's easier targets for similar prize money in the UK, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And I think it is fairly close to Cheltenham. Like, for me, it's not close enough that it should necessarily be a deterrent. But I can kind of understand, if you have a horse that you're hoping to get to Cheltenham in tip-top shape, why would you come over and bottom them out against probably Willie and Gordon's third or fourth string, who are probably going to win the race anyway, in that kind of way. I just think that there's an imbalance in the talent of the horses between the two countries at the moment. And until that's fixed or rectified, chances are the English won't come over to try and take us on here at all.
Okay, maybe it's just a coincidence then. Maybe in a couple of years, if we've got some stronger horses, they'll go over. But then, as you say, we've got the targets over here. Hopefully it will catch on in the next couple of years. Maybe it's just trainers wanting to change their habits, I guess. Jimmy, what do you think?
Well, I think if you've got a good horse who handles Leopardstown well, like Simply Ned or the Listener a few years back, then yeah, every reason to go over to Leopardstown. But Otherwise, I totally agree with Darren. Why would you? I mean, it's hard enough taking on the likes of Willian, Gordon, Saunders at Cheltenham. So why go all the way over to Leopardstown when you're preparing them for the festival to be absolutely spot on
and give them a hard race
yeah. in defeat? So, yeah, it would be great if they did come over. But I think it's asking a bit much at the moment, given the quality of horses in Ireland.
Okay, we just want that competitive quality racing, don't we? And a bit of rivalry between the British and the Irish. But we'll have to wait a bit longer to get it. Ross Burden asks, Panic Attack, is she a good price for the champion bumper at 8-1, Darren?
Look, I'm not going to put anyone away and say not to back her. I wouldn't be inclined to take 8s. She's 10s with us, actually. I'll give you a full rundown here of the prices. She's 10s, Israel Champ is 12s, Eric Bloodaxe is 12s, Appreciated is 12s, Risk Factor is 14s, and 16s and bigger the rest. Look, I don't know, I wouldn't be inclined to take that price, to be honest. I don't see her being that much shorter in the day. I know William's another horse there, Appreciated, who I think is their main champion bumper horse this year. And today, if you were to pin him to the wall, he'd say that's the more likely winner. She was carrying 10 stone 3 and probably wasn't a great race. I'm visually impressive, but I don't know how much there is to farm, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that was Willie Mullins' first run at Market Raising. Jimmy would probably be going back more often if he's got a good horse. Any thoughts on what sort of horse you need for the champion bumper these days?
Well, just a horse that's very, very classy. I mean, he's got plenty of those, Willie. I think that was a nice prize for her to pick up at Market Raising, but I'd be surprised if she was a number one hope for Closeton come March.
Okay. Final question then. Josh Robinson says, what are your thoughts on Chantry House? His form's been boosted all over the place. And what do you think his festival target will be? Jimmy, I'll go to you first on this one. Obviously beat Edward Stone in a bumper and then beat Stolen Silver at Cheltenham last time. It's gone under the radar a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I'd think he'd go for the Supreme, wouldn't he, at the festival? He looks to have plenty of speed. And as you said, his form's been boosted. So, I think he's one of the favourites now, isn't he, for the Supreme? So, yeah, that's where he'll end up. The picture for the Supreme is still a little bit cloudy. We're yet to see, you know, one or two stars maybe coming through later on in the season, in the next month. So, yeah, but at the moment, Chantry House will be one of the favourites for that.
Okay, interesting. I would have liked to see him out again before he runs at Cheltenham. I thought he was just a little bit green last time at Prestbury Park. Darren, what do you think?
I'd echo that, yeah. All the promise in the world, but like we need to see him, and he needs to prove that he can put that to good use. He obviously did it well at Cheltenham in December, and it's good that he's a bit of course form there. But you need at least another run, and ideally two, before going to take on the big boys at the festival. Again, it's just this case of horse being wrapped up a little. Maybe there's a good reason for it, but for him to be competitive, he's going to need all the experience in the world going to Cheltenham in March.
Especially when he's up against horses like Abacadabras, who's, I believe, the favourite for the Supreme at the minute.
He is indeed our favourite for the Supreme. He is our 9-2 favourite. Shishkin then for Nicky Henderson is 6s. Envolen is 8. Probably unlikely to go here, unfortunately. Fiddler on the Roof then for Colin Hizzard is 8. Chantry House is 12s. Andy Dufresne is 14s. Captain McGuinness is 14s. And it's 16s and bigger the rest.
Brilliant. So work to be done then, maybe, in terms of Chantry House. That's all we've got time for today. Thanks for joining us next week. Make sure to tweet me your questions so I can read them out. We'll see you soon. Better luck with where you're betting this week.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.